And it's a scary world right now, isn't it? But it's not scary to Christians that are saved and who know what's in this book.
Yes.
Because this book is going to tell you exactly what's happening right now. I don't know. I've only been studying it for 46 years. I don't know everything. Turn to 2 Timothy real quick. Chapter 4. The pastor said that this last sermon we had here really helped the church. Remember the one we had two parts to it? And we talked about, since I've seen you last, I started my new book. It's my sixth book. It's called Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters. And it launches off out of here in 2 Timothy. And I'm not going to repeat the whole outline from last time, but I'm going to add something to it. So look at something I didn't cover when I was with you last time. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now this is the last thing the Apostle Paul writes. He gets his head cut off at the end of the next chapter. He's a martyr, right? Last book he writes. And he's writing it to warn Christians about what to expect whenever the Lord comes to get them at the very end. Paul thought he was going to go up. God said, I'm coming back. He never told Paul when. That's why that verse in Thessalonians is interesting. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. He thought he was going up, we. But he didn't go. He didn't go up with the undertaker. He went with the undertaker. But here he lists the things that whenever the end is here, this is what you can expect. Now, you're not going to get a better forecast of what you're looking at right now. Verse 1, chapter 3. This know also that in the last times, or last days, perilous times shall come. Now, you know that's a negative word. It's only used once in the Bible. If you look it up in a Webster's English Dictionary from 1828, it says dangerous, hazardous, full of great risk. Doesn't that sound like everybody's attitude with the mask on around the world right now? They're paranoid, freaking out.
Yes,
sir. Well, duh, it's been in the Bible for 2,000 years.
Yes.
Verse 2, watch this, young people. 20 things are listed. 20 things are listed. The first one blows my mind. Look at it. For the time for men shall be, look, lovers of their own what? Selfies. How are you going to find, how can you explain that? The first thing the Holy Ghost had Paul write down 20 centuries ago. For last day conditions, first one is 19 more after that, is men are going to be lovers of their own selves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think that Bible's up to date?
Amen.
Paul said, watch out, we're not ignorant of his devices.
Yes, sir.
Lest Satan get an advantage over us. You let this stupid thing run your life, he's got an edge on you, boy.
Yes, sir.
He does. And then let's... And I often say, you've heard me say it, don't get excited about your smartphones, young people. Moses was downloading data from a cloud onto his tablets a long time before Bill Gates had his first diaper change. Say amen right there, quick. All right, now there's 19 more here. We're not going to park on them at all because I know exactly where I'm going. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Hey, young people, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There's all your mothers killing their babies in their wombs. That's not natural for a mother to kill her child.
Yeah.
Without natural affection. See that thing? Blah, blah, blah. Truce breakers, false accusers. You see that happen to Donald Trump? Incontinent, fierce, road rage, despisers of those that are good. How about that next word? Traitors. That explained the 2020 election. Can I get a witness on that one? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People come to church on Sunday when there's nothing else going on. When there's no ball games for their kids to get distracted with, they'll come to church maybe. They'll cut God a break at the end.
Yeah.
Having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, we don't need to read the rest of the chapter except down to verse 13. If you want to know how exciting the future is going to be, let's have revival, amen? Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you understand what you're reading? This is your future.
Yes, sir.
Anybody home? I want to show you something, neighbor. Brother, preacher, which one would you use in here if you picked one color for the best effect?
Black.
Black? All right. Black is beautiful, right?
Black is beautiful.
All right. Are these things working?
Yes.
How many of you know a good a four-letter Italian word for goodbye?
Bang.
Bang, right. I told him yesterday. You thought it was chow, right? Amen, Brother Grady. Okay. I want to show you something here. Okay. So, this is a little, you know, Here's the Old Testament back here. I don't know if you can see this real good from the back. Here's like a little timeline, right? Old Testament, the crucifixion over here. Now, here's the church age that we're in right now, right? Now, over here, right, rapture.
Yes, sir.
So, right here is when the Lord is going to come back to get us at the end of the church age, who's ever alive. The dead are going to come out of the graves first, and we which are alive on the earth, we're going to go up with them, all of us together. And then he's going to take us back to heaven, right? And then all hell's going to break loose on the earth. That's that tribulation period. At the end of that 7 years, we're all coming back, okay, to rescue Israel. You see things going on in Israel tonight? By the way, there was no Israel till about right here.
Right.
Israel went out of existence over here. And she's back in 1948 right here because things are getting ready to wrap up.
Yes.
Listen, young people... Well, you got torture chambers in here. Now, let me tell you something. I have no hesitation telling all you young people, all of yous, you are absolutely stupid and retarded if you're not trying to act serious about spiritual things now.
Yes,
because the world's coming to an end.
Yes, sir.
The world's going to go crazy pretty soon. You're not going to have any stinking food to eat. It's going to get wild. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, it says. This is no time to be, you know, Baptist salute, look. There's no time for that anymore. You say, well, wait a minute, I got the rapture to take me out of here, right? Yeah, watch. Let me show you something deep. If you believe that we go out of here before that tribulation starts, which is what we believe here doctrinally, not all Christians believe that. That position, theologically, is called the pre-trib rapture. Trib for tribulation. Pre-trib. The rapture takes place before the tribulation. See that right here? See the little arrow going up? The Lord takes us out of here, and then the tribulation breaks out on this earth. That's what you think. You're not going to see anything, any Steven Spielberg movie is going to touch what's going to happen here.
Right.
That would scare you to death. Old black preacher one time said he's going to preach from genocide to revolution. You get in that last book of Revelation, it's going to scare you in the next week.
Yep.
But thank the Lord, while all that's going on, we're going to be up here.
Yes, sir.
Now, watch this. They call that a pre-trib rapture. Some Christians think you're going to go halfway into the tribulation period and then go out. Some think you're going to go all the way almost to the end. So they call that mid-trib. Some call it post-trib. But we believe in the pre-trib. See, this is all about it, the Jews.
Yes.
Nothing. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not Jacob. If you don't get anything right about your Bible, learn the difference between the church and Israel.
Amen.
You don't do that. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't learn that in normal churches. Don't learn that in normal churches. You learn that in a Bible-believing church. You know, you'll read verses in there about dealing with Israel, the Jews, and think that's for you, and you get all mixed up. You understand? You got to get this stuff straight. Okay? Now, watch this. So, Christians that believe in the rapture, right? You know, they're just, you know, having a form of godliness, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, you know, at the end of the church age. We're so spoiled with so many things now. Christians saved people all through here. They didn't have Burger King and McDonald's.
Right.
They hardly had clothes to wear. They'd bark off trees. Go read some books about the Dark Ages.
Yes.
All we know is what's in our own face because we're so selfish. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. At the end, all we can think about is ourselves.
Yes.
How many likes did I get on my video for the squirrel pushing the beach ball down the sand? I only got 8 likes. Your whole world's wrapped up in this dopey thing.
Yes.
You ever see how you're looking when you got these stupid things? You see where your head is? You see your head? Which direction? Apple's supposed to be coming out with a new handheld computer. Got a camera here and a little split screen, so you don't have to walk in the telephone poles anymore when you're on your phone. You can see where you're going. I don't know if that's coming out, but I remember reading it. Now, ain't that something, Nancy? What did Jesus say? When you see all these crazy things coming to pass, what did he tell you to do? Lift up your heads.
Amen.
Your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Look at your heads today.
Yes.
You know what the difference is between a human and an animal? A human's on four legs and he looks down the way God made him. And God put you on two legs so you can look up at him. The spirit of a man goeth upward. The spirit of the beast goeth downward.
Yes.
We're messed up, neighbor.
Yes.
But now watch. So the Christians think, well, the rapture's going to save me. I don't got to worry about the tribulation period. Eat, drink, and be merry. I just have a good old time. Work church in once in a while. Because I got so much stuff I can do now that no other Christians ever had. But I got it, so I'm going to have some fun. I was in 92 churches last year. I don't know everything, but I was in 92 churches in 52 weeks. Guess what I do? I see stuff.
Yes,
I'll tell you what's out there. But I got news for you. If you're pre-tribulation rapture, which I am, that's good.
Yes.
But in order to be make the rapture, if we don't know when the Lord's coming, we hope he's coming soon. When Hubert Humphrey died, they had a big black choir from a church in some big city, and they sang in his choir, "Soon and very soon, we shall see the King." Come on, brother. I was just kidding. That guy scares me. That guy make Bing Crosby look like an amateur. Amen. Okay, now watch this. You want to hear a deep thought? I hope we go up with the rapture. But if you're pre-trib and make it to the rapture, you're also post-perilous times. What time did you go to bed, dude? Yeah. He just made a yawn big enough for a truck to roll through his mouth. And I know the guy's okay. I can pick on him for fun. I'll do anything to hold your attention. Say, hey, sit down in the back. Sit down. See? Nobody standing back there. That's called crowd control. Amen. You may not like me, but you're hypnotized right now. What's that crazy person all about up there? Who writes 900-page books and can tell you why Italians wear gold chains? Amen? How many of you know why Italians wear gold chains? Told you that joke 3 times already. They got to know where to stop shaving. Amen? Now, I just do that silly stuff so you just keep listening. You understand that?
Yeah.
Duh, I care about you.
Amen.
Now, if you listen, you'll learn something. Did you read 2 Timothy 3:1? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You don't have to go through the tribulation period if you're saved, but you do have to get through the perilous times to get to the rapture.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how many Christians never think about that? I'm pre-trib, but I'm post-perilous times pre-trib.
Amen.
You know how deep that is? Do you know how deep? How you doing? You know how deep that is? Watch. Here you go, tribulation right here, right? At the very end, perilous times at the very end, right at the end, right there. You got to go through that to get to the rapture. That takes place before the tribulation. You see, the Jews are going to get burned in the tribulation period. We get burned in the perilous times.
Yes, sir.
And that's why Titus chapter 2 calls the rapture the blessed hope. I hope I make it through.
Yes.
So back to you being retarded, crazy, stupid, or whichever word you want. That's what you are if you're just yawning your way through Christianity now. You just don't know where you are. The world's getting ready to come to an end soon.
Yes.
And very soon. And God can take you through the turbulence. But, you know, you might want to convince him you're interested in his agenda and trying to do right.
Amen.
None of you are going to live perfect. I don't. But you know the difference between really trying and just being a dipwad.
Yes. Right.
Hello? Anybody home?
Amen.
I couldn't be any more serious than a heart attack.
Super.
Now, let me show you. Look at chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. These are the last things Paul... he's in a jail. Come on, bro. Oh.
It's in color.
Your preacher's a show-off, you know that? That's heresy over here. And hyper-dispensationalist here. You need a new preacher. That's making that look stupid now. How many of you know what the most common expression is at an Italian funeral? If he'd only kept his mouth shut. Amen, brother. All right, here's some exciting news. I'll be here all week. Bring your friends and neighbors, and it'll shock them too. Amen. Okay. Here's what I want to show you that's so good. Chapter 4, verse 1. Last thing Paul writes. Now, you know, there's no chapters and verse divisions when this was first written. It's one long letter. All these things were put in there to break it up to help you understand it better, right? So Paul's winding down his letter. He's in jail, and he's writing a letter to a preacher that he's trained named Timothy. And he's giving him, like, the last, you know, marching orders because he's out of here. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. That's the last thing he tells the man to do. Be instant. That means consistent, right? In season and out of season. That means pre-COVID and post-COVID. Say amen right there. Reprove, negative. Rebuke, negative. Exhort, positive. With all long suffering and doctrine. His preaching should be 2/3 negative at the end. So what is that? It don't sound very positive. Well, it's 1/3 positive, 2/3 negative. Isn't that how you got saved? How'd you get saved? Did you get saved by the gospel? I don't know what Paul said the gospel was. Death? Negative. Burial? Negative. Resurrection? Positive. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. Here's the verse. Here it is. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many times do you hear me point that verse out to you?
Yes.
You know, for a year, listen, what that says is that in the end days, the saved people aren't, it doesn't say they won't believe sound doctrine. You've heard me stress this before. It says they won't endure it. They won't put up with it anymore. I mean, the saved people that you know, you try to get them to come to your church because you have fun here, and they come and yawn or get scared or get mad at something he says and never come back, and you get discouraged. Why would you be discouraged to know you might make the rapture? Your daddy grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. He was just telling me the story. That was the belt buckle of the Bible Belt in that day.
Yes.
Good night in the morning. It's not like that anymore.
Right.
They'd have revival meetings going on 6 weeks at a time. Every night of the week for 6 weeks, people packing in and no room to put the people. Today, you have a 3-day meeting, you're taking your life into your hands. Well, I don't know, preacher. If there's nothing else going on, I might be there. That's because you're in the end. Don't get discouraged. They'll not. Now, it says they won't endure. They believe, but they won't endure it. What do you mean? Have mercy. I got something I want to show you on my phone. That's why I got it open. Like for instance, right now yoga classes are big in corporate America. Your dads and uncles and people in your family working in business, they're being told, you have to take yoga now to concentrate on focus and attention, make you a better salesperson. Yoga is Satanism on steroids. You may not know that because you just might be a normal duck person. It is.
Yes.
It's out of the East, Hinduism.
Yes.
It's communicating with the darn devil. I watched my mother playing with a Ouija board about a month before she killed herself, trying to get in touch with her mother, and she just went into eternity herself.
Yes.
That stuff's real. You want a thrill? Stick your finger in a light socket. Leave the Ouija boards and stuff like that alone.
Amen.
But here's the deal: the Christian men are being forced to wonder, what do I do now? You know, do I take yoga? That'll make if I turn it down, then my boss will get mad. I might lose my job. I can't buy or sell without a mark. See what the pressure is starting to build here? We're getting close to the end.
Yes.
You won't have to worry about the mark. You just got to worry about, that's the tribulation. You got to worry about everything else in the perilous times.
Yes.
Where it's political pressure. Here you go, transgenderism. Hello, neighbor. You working at a job now? You're a boss, you're running the telephone store somewhere, and some big old nasty looking guy comes in there telling you he's a woman. You got to address him as a her, or you get fined or go to jail sooner or later. You don't know that, do you? New York City passed an ordinance 2 years ago with giving people that live there 31 choices for a pronoun that they can go by. You thought it was just he or she. They got 31. Drag queen, drag king, pangender, binary. They get 31. I got my new book coming out. Go Google it. NYC. And if you don't, if you're a landlord of an apartment building or an employer and you got some nut living there or working for you like that, thinks he's a man when he's a woman and all that, and wants to be called Lulu, Tutti Frutti, whatever he wants to be called, if you don't do that, you get fined as high as $250,000, which pushes you out of business. Can't buy or sell without a mark.
Right.
You're going to stand, you see, it used to be a Christian baker. Christian owned a bakery shop and some queer wants to come in that. But bake me a wedding cake for my gay wedding. And you say, no, I can't do that because that's against my religious convictions. You go to jail over there. You lose your bakery store.
Yeah.
So we used to say, God bless them over there. Now it's in your neighborhood with the pronoun junk. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's coming. And say people are going to say, ah, yoga, no big deal. Well, he just wants to be called he, so what? I'll call her a he. I wouldn't want to lose my job. Wouldn't want to stand up for right. Anybody home?
Yes.
You're not getting quiet on me, are you? You don't like the word queer? So you've grown up at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't know a man should be kissing a woman and not the other way around. I was saved a long time. I was saved after a grown man. I smoked marijuana coming out of both ears. I bought my Southern Comfort by the half gallon, $14.25 a half gallon. I was thrown out of a topless nightclub when I was 14 years old. I was in there watching a football game. That's how young I was. I wasn't even in there for the dances. I was watching a football, New York Giants, Atlanta Falcons football game. Got thrown out by a plainclothes cop. Meaning I didn't grow up in church. I don't know anything. But I was never tempted to kiss a man. Never even thought about it. Never dreamed about it. That's end-day perversion, see? And you should know that it's perversion. If, see, I don't think he should talk that way. That's because you're getting influenced by the nuts you're hanging out with.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to fold with everybody else. As the Tonto and Lone Ranger, it's an old joke. You know, the all of a sudden the Indians were circling Lone Ranger with his buddy Tonto, you know? And he said, Tonto, looks like we're in trouble over here, right? And about that time, Tonto was putting, you know, paint on his head. He said, what you mean, we, white man? I never heard of the guy. That's how it's going to be. What did Paul write in that last letter? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Am I spitting on you girls, by the way? Be honest. Only Luke is present with me. At the end, we're running out. You know, the Bible ends with a preacher on an island all by himself. That's the book of Revelation there. Okay, now watch this. The big thing is going to be race. Now, you got all kind of black folks in here that apparently love the Lord. They wouldn't be in a church like this. I got a church I preach for in West Memphis, Arkansas all the time. It's a 100% black, 100% King James only church, and they send me monthly support. You don't. Hint, no, just kidding. Morning Star Baptist, Independent Baptist Church, West Memphis, Arkansas. Preacher's a real big old black dude about that big. He used to be a gangbanger in Omaha, Nebraska before he got saved. First time I ever preached for that dude. You know what he did? He gave me a generous love offering. How you doing? And he gave me a 12-gauge shotgun so I could get back out of the neighborhood, home to my... If I'm lying, man, Lord, strike him dead if I just made that up. It's crazy, brother. It's crazy. Now, I'm telling you this for this reason. You hear about something called critical race theory. You hear that expression? That is stuff being taught in all the schools in America now, that the white man is the worst thing on the earth. He's oppressed people of color forever. You hear Coca-Cola's, you know, putting memos out to their employees, act less white. You know, and Chick-fil-A owner putting out memos, we want all our white customers to ask forgiveness for being racist. You're hearing that all the time. What you don't understand about all that, besides it being of the devil,
yes,
is that it's an attack on the Word of God. You know why? When Noah got off the ark, he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. If you'll read Genesis chapter 10, it will tell you when they left the ark and they took their families and the grandkids and the three lines of the three lineages went three different directions. Your preacher's taught you this before. I am so going somewhere with this. Okay? They come off of Mount Ararat, and Japheth goes up west into Europe. Shem goes eastbound, and Ham goes on to the continent of Africa. You got Europe, Asia, and Africa, the three major breakups of civilization. In my new book and in my red book, you get my red book out there, How Satan Turned America Against God. I've got quotes from World Book Encyclopedia from the 1990s that explain this before we got into this insane critical race time now when men can be women and all, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's a nutty time. You can read what the encyclopedias used to teach when people had a brain in their head, okay?
Yeah.
But what the Bible said is, out of these three boys, Japheth is called Japheth the Elder over there in Genesis. He's the oldest of the three boys. He goes into Europe, okay, and eventually into England. That's where your King James Bible came from. And then he's going to go across the Atlantic Ocean to America. Now, watch this. In Genesis 9:27, okay,
yes,
it says, God shall enlarge Japheth. A prophecy about what he was going to do with him. Well, that's a hate crime. You mean God said he was going to do something with one guy? This is the father of the white people or the Europeans, black people, Asian people. That's how it is. I'm telling you, instead of letting the crazy world influence you where you can't think for yourself, go find out what used to be in the encyclopedias before you were born. Everybody's understood this and believed this. But here's the point. God said he was going to enlarge Japheth, enlarge him. Got an Italian builder right here. What's the old Italian joke from New Jersey? How do you break up an Italian wedding? Somebody yells the cement's here. Because the Italians run the construction industry. Japheth's the builder.
Yes, sir.
Anybody know what fuels America? Bigger is better?
Right.
That's our culture. Duh. God said he was going to do that with Japheth. Why did he say he was going to do that? You're not going to believe this. Because he loves Japheth more than he loves black people and Asian people. See, that's the stupid line of thinking Satan wants you to start following. Well, why don't you take some time and find out what the word Japheth even means, the name. You know what it means? It means beautiful. You know, Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Japheth's the big brother. Anybody ever have a big brother? Thank God he took care of you, protected you, right? Well, that's what big brothers are supposed to do. In God's plan, he was going to have Japheth to get us our Bible out of England. That's a European part of Europe, England, and that's the white guys, okay? That's where the Bible came from that you're reading. And world missions would be spearheaded by the United States and by Great Britain, and the gospel is going to go all around the world. Listen, I work for an airline named British Airways. British Airways was formed in 1972 with the merger of two airlines, BOAC and BEA. They were both the British airlines. BOAC was the international British airline, went all around the world, and BEA, British European Airways, just went to European destinations. They put them. Anybody remember that crazy song by the Beatles back in the USSR? The first line of the song says, flew in from Miami Beach, BOAC, okay? Now, when they merged, it became British Airways. And I worked for them from 1972. Now, you know what they said? Guess what the largest airline in the world always has been? British Airways has been the largest airline in the world. What does that mean? That goes back to something they used to say in the 1800s. An old expression. I bet you a quarter you've all heard it. Here's what the expression is. Ready? I'll start it and you finish it. Ready? The sun never sets. See, you're all getting quiet now because I'm talking about race. You see the point?
Yes.
So you feel nervous by instinct. Am I supposed to be laughing? Am I supposed to act like I'm interested? You see? That's because you come in here 3 hours a week and you stay out there 2,000 hours a week.
Yes.
TV and phone destroys your brain. All we're doing is reading the scriptures, and so you can learn something. And hello, I go into Subway. You know, there's an 18-year-old kid standing there, and I said, "Do you know why Italians hate Jehovah's Witnesses?" And he goes like that, you know, because cameras are watching. Is this a hate crime I'm going to enter into? No, it's a joke, you idiot. And I went to a Catholic high school in Delaware with a bunch of Polack Catholic priests. They told the best Polack jokes I ever heard. I mean, that was the old days when people weren't paranoid and everything. I had this big, fat Catholic priest, Father Dupieski. I remember him standing in class one time. He said, "Did you hear about the Polack who thought Johnny Cash was a paid toilet?" That was 1968 I heard that joke. And nobody went, "Why don't you get a life, man?
Amen.
I'm only teaching you what's happening here." Jesse Jackson said, "You can't lose with the stuff I use. You feel better now? This is the book you can't lose with." Now look, turn to Ezekiel 26. I'm going to show you something wild. God said he was going to enlarge Japheth. Didn't happen overnight. Ever heard of the Pharaohs? They were in Egypt, on African continent, right? That's Ham. You ever hear of the 10 northern tribes being taken into captivity into Assyria by the Assyrian king? Where's that? Up near Babylon, near Iraq, right? That's Asia. That's not Europe yet. We covered this last time, remember? Now, I'm going to show you something wild. Ezekiel 26. Man, this is going to be crazy. You're not going to believe what you're going to see here. In Ezekiel 26, the prophet Ezekiel is in captivity over in Babylon. It's 590 B.C., and God tells him to write something down in a prophecy about how God is going to destroy a bad country named Tyre. Now watch. You're not going to believe this little story. So here is Israel. Look. Here's Israel. And if you kind of go up the coastline, the Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, here's the Mediterranean out here. If you go up a little bit up the coastline, there's a city right here called Tyrus, T-R-Y-U-S, okay? Now, watch this. God said he was going to destroy that city, and he was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to do it. Look real quick at verse 7. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon" what? Oh, I got that spelled. Preacher, where you at when I need you, man? You want me to look bad up here, because you're... All right, Tyrus. He says he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar. That's the king of Babylon. The Jews are already, up there being punished. Look here. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north with horses and with chariots. Verse 8, he shall slay with the sword. Verse 9, he shall set engines of war. So he's just talking about he's going to wipe that city out, right? Now, I'm rushing for time, because you can look this up later. It's going to blow your mind if you read everything I'm going to tell you. All right, Nebuchadnezzar comes up there, and he wipes them out. Oh, I don't know when about 573 B.C. or something like that. Anyway, he defeats them, okay? Just like God said he was going to do it. However, there were two Tyruses. Watch over here. There's another one out in the ocean, okay? This one's called Old Tyrus. This one's New Tyrus. It's a little dinky island about a half a mile out in the ocean off the coastline. That was their last, like their Alamo, that they'd run to in case they're going to get wiped out on the mainland. They'd run out here. You know, people have a moat and a castle. How's a half a mile ocean for a moat? Not bad. So they couldn't get them. So Nebuchadnezzar can't do anything. They're thumbing their nose over Nebuchadnezzar from the island. So he gives up after he wipes out the main city and leaves, right? Well, the prophecy wasn't fulfilled, apparently, then, I guess. God said something was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Listen, you let God figure out when he's going to answer your prayers and how he's going to answer your prayers, and don't be shocked if he shows up sometime when you least expect it. There's Joseph in captivity, and his brother's he's the second in command of the whole country now, and there's his brothers kneeling in front of him, don't recognize him, and it says, "And Joseph remembered the dream." Oh, yeah, I remember when I was a teenager, 17, God gave me a dream. One day my brothers would be looking, bowing down to me and all that. I done forgot about it. Don't worry, God doesn't forget. Give him time to do what he says he's going to do. Because guess what happened 200 years later? 200 years later, a guy named Alexander the Great shows up. I mean, 200 years later. And guess what he does? He takes all the debris, the stone, the timber, the lumber. You know, it's 200 years, this city's just, it was never rebuilt, right? He takes all, he didn't have any bulldozers back then, but he takes all that debris and junk from that city and has his men throw it into the ocean. They spend 7 months, what are they doing? Building a causeway that was wide enough for them to drag two gigantic siege towers onto the thing. And after 7 months, preacher, they got a bridge built like. And man, they come out there and wipe them dudes out. Just like God said he was going to do it.
Yes.
Oh, would you like to see the verse where God said that's exactly what was going to happen? Young people, I'm pulling for you now, see? I'm being funny and all that to make you listen to me. But that's to get you to look at the Bible to see how real it is.
Yes, sir.
Want to see where God said that very thing was going to happen? One verse. Watch verse 12. Verse 13, verse 14. Look at here. Verse 12. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. Semicolon. Now 200 year jump now with that semicolon. And they shall what? Lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust where? Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. Nobody ever saw that verse before. That's sitting right in there for later fulfillment 200 years later. You can trust that Bible, young people.
Amen.
But now here's the coolest thing I got to tell you. While Alexander the Great is doing this, look, while he's building that thing, he sends messengers down to Jerusalem down here, right? Where the Jews are. He sends messengers down there and says, hey, we want some help here. Alexander the Great, you know, he's pretty powerful. Everybody's scared of him. We need some money and we need some labor, muscle, volunteers to help us build this thing. The high priest down there, his name is Jannus. J-A-N-N-U-S. He's the high priest in Jerusalem. This is 300-something years before Jesus, okay? And he sends an answer back. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Because the main dude everybody's scared of is the Persian king, Darius III. He's the world leader at the time. And I've signed an agreement with him, a non-aggression pact. I can't touch him. I mean, I won't fight against him. And helping his enemies is like fighting against them. I'm sorry, Mr. Alexander. Well, Alexander the Great gets that response back, and he says, oh, yeah? He sends an answer back. Okay, no problem. We'll do it without you. But when I'm all done, I'm coming down there to say hi to you. They're all scared down there. Now, look, you're not going to believe this. How do you know when a lawyer's lying? You ever heard that joke? When his lips are moving. Now, I'm preaching 46 years and writing my sixth book. I don't know everything, but I guarantee you I can hold your attention for 40 minutes or an hour. And you'll learn something. This is cool stuff, neighbor. You ready? It doesn't get any cooler than this, ready? So guess what happens? Alexander the Great comes down after wiping Tyrus' number two out. He shows up ready to clean the clocks in Jerusalem, burn the place down. But guess what happens? The high priest comes out to meet him. Mr. Alexander, before you wipe this joint out, you might want to read this. You know what he does? He pulls out a scroll from the book of Daniel. Turn to Daniel 7 real quick. We'll close with this. This is what I showed to everybody when I was here last time. Here's another prophecy book where Daniel talks about Alexander the Great. Daniel 8. Daniel 8. And what he does here, to save time, I'm skipping most of the explanation because we're out of time. Daniel sees a vision in when he's in captivity. God shows him something, a prophecy, right? A two-horned ram. You ever see ram pickup trucks? You got a ram with two horns on it, right? And all of a sudden, a goat with one horn comes and attacks the ram with two horns. And the goat with one horn kills the ram and takes over. I'm skipping again. You can reread this later. Look at verse number 7. And I saw him, that's the goat, come close unto the ram. And he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, and it cast him down to the ground. You all see that? Now watch. This is what Alexander the Great was shown in the temple. Look at across the page, verse number 20, and here's the explanation. The two animals stand for two kingdoms. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the what? Kings of Media and Persia. That's Darius the Third. I just told you, he's the guy running the world at that time. And the rough goat is the king of where? Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That's Alexander the Great. Okay, now look at here. When Alexander the Great saw that, he basically flipped out. Okay? He flipped out, and And he said, and the high priest said, "That's you, Alexander. You're going to defeat the Persian king next year and be the top banana in the whole world." And Alexander the Great saw that. He said, "Yeah, blah, 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 blah." The top historian of that day was a man named Josephus. You've heard of him? Here's what he wrote about that. "And when the book of Daniel was shown him, wherein Daniel declared that one of the Greeks should destroy the empire of the Persians, he supposed that himself was the person intended, and as he was then glad, he dismissed the multitude for the present." He said, "Okay, how can I destroy a place like this?" And he left, and they lived to fight another day in Jerusalem. And the next year, he killed Darius, his army defeated Darius, October the 1st, 331 B.C., in the Battle of Gargamela. And here's, I told you all that to say this, about how accurate that Bible is. What did it say in Genesis 9:27? "God shall enlarge Japheth." It wasn't going to happen overnight. Pharaohs, pyramids, Assyrians, they're all Asians, Shemites. One day, the Europeans were going to take over the world. The bad old white man, because God said he was going to enlarge Japheth, and that's where America came from, that's where the King James Bible came from, that's where world missions came from, because that was God's plan to get, he's the big brother that was going to get the Asians and the black men saved.
Yes.
And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar sees that dream, the gold head, the silver arms, the bronze thighs and the iron legs, remember that? He asked Daniel in Daniel 2, "What's all this mean?" Daniel said, "It's four empires. That's coming. You're the gold head. You're already here. You're going to be followed by the silver arm empire. That's the Persians and the Medes. You're from Asia. These guys are from Asia. But then they're going to get knocked off by the brass thighs, Alexander the Great, who comes in from Greece, which is on European soil. And then they'll get knocked off by the Romans. And the Europeans will never look around, never turn their back again." So when you hear people screaming about white privilege and white superiority, that's all communism started in Germany. He'll tell you all that stuff. Anybody ever heard of Angela Davis? She was a big radical Marxist, open communist. They've been pushing that stuff now in the schools forever. And you poor people hear that 24 hours a day. And when a preacher stands up to try to explain it to you, his hands are tied. Because you got 10,000 hours out there, he's got 2 hours a week in here. But why don't you decide you're going to put that Bible first, and you're going to be politically incorrect, and you're going to stand for the truth in the last days. Amen. The time will come when they will not endure. Why don't you be one of the ones that will endure? Amen. And you put God first and tell the world to take a flying leap. Tell them to take a long walk off a short pier. Preacher, I took a couple extra minutes because I'm mad about my microphone.